Hi, I'm Terry Snowden. Welcome to the Forever Mancunians series here on the Forever Manchester podcast platform. In each episode, we bring you an interesting and inspirational conversation with local people doing extraordinary things in our communities. My guest today is Jenny Smith, who alongside a wealth of knowledge and experience, and amongst many other things, is the Chief Executive Officer, CEO, Salford Loaves and Fishes, and also Chair of the Buell Hill Mansion Association Committee. And they've been working with the Council to restore the two grade listed mansion house in Buell Hill Park in Salford, with the aim of breathing a new lease of life into the building and benefiting the community. As a result, I'm delighted to say hello and welcome Jenny Smith.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm good, thank you for having me.
Now, I gather it's been a bit of an eventful and an amazing journey for you, but before we get into the story behind the renovation and the restoration of Buell Hill Mansion, you're also the CEO of Salford Loaves and Fishes, with its focus firmly placed on homelessness and supporting those most vulnerable in our society. Can you tell me something about your work there?
Yeah, so I moved over to Loaves and Fishes 12 months ago. The pandemic kind of forced my job movement. We support over 2,000 people a month, so about 130 people a day come into us for some kind of support. We work with anybody that's homeless, at risk of homeless, vulnerable or isolated, and we offer a holistic approach, so it could be to see a support worker, have food, we provide breakfast and lunch each day, NHS is based on site, we can give food parcels, toiletry parcels, and then we have a Skills for Life Centre to help people move towards employment.
I recently noticed somewhere, I don't know if you're aware of it, but Salford Loaves and Fishes are actually featured in the Salford edition of Monopoly.
Yes.
Did you know that?
I do know that because I bought it for my son for Christmas, and when I moved over, he was so excited because where I work was on his Monopoly board.
Brilliant. How did Buell Hill Mansion Association come about, and how did you get involved?
So I live by the park. I moved back when my son was 8 months old, and the Mining Museum was a massive part of my youth. A story was leaked by an organisation called Salford Star that somebody had put a proposal forward to build houses in the park to help to sort of renovate the mansion, and the community came together and said no. So I first started attending those meetings and then joined the committee.
And you never looked back?
No.
I noticed that you have an interest in heritage.
Yes.
And a passion for consulting, especially the repurposing of buildings for community use, which seems to have become a Jenny speciality. And that prior to your involvement with Buell Hill Mansion Association, you previously worked on two significant National Heritage Lottery funded restoration projects. And we're not only just talking about a few pounds, shillings and pence, we're talking 5.7 million and 1.2 million respectively. So what was the 1.2 million?
So the 1.2 million was, my job was to write that bid and take Withington Baths through a lottery bid. Withington Baths is an amazing facility, and the council came and was closing it because they were opening Hough End, and the community said no, we don't want that. So the community came together and it now runs as a registered charity. So the heritage lottery bid was to restore the baths and the glass lantern roof above the pool. So it was my job to write it, which was great and really exciting until it came to submission, and then I realised that it was all on my head if we didn't get the money. So it was a really stressful period, but yes, if anybody is around that area, go and have a look, it's amazing. It was the first place to offer mixed bathing. It came about through a fantastic suffragette lady called Margaret Ashton, who was the first female politician in Manchester. So there's so much history in it, but it's really, really well used and supported by the community, so it's a fantastic space.
Now, you also work with local schools and educational specialists.
Yes.
And you're able to create a few curriculum-based sessions focusing on industrial heritage, historical characters, which I think you've just alluded to one of them, and also equality in society. Was this your idea?
Yes, so it was really important for us to sort of teach local people and especially children how much heritage and history was in the pool that they come and swim at. So there's about 20 primary schools or 20 schools that come and swim in the baths but wouldn't know the history. So we devised these sessions so schools could come in and find out about the history. quality, how the bath work and the industrial side. So it was really, really interesting creating those sessions.
So the bid was successful, the baths were saved, along with a really important slice of Victorian heritage. I would imagine it's Victorian.
Yeah.
And that maintained its place and its purpose in the community. Are you still involved with the baths?
My son still swims there every week. I'm not quite ready to walk away from there yet. Really close to the staff, and it's just amazing. So, yes, so I still frequent there once a week.
Then we've got the £5.7 million Heritage Lottery project at All Souls Church in Bolton.
Yes, so I came on board there when it was in building stage. So the lottery money had been secured, so it was hard hat and steel toe cap boots to go in there. All Souls was one of two churches that were built by the Greenhouse brothers, and sort of the only design thing was that in the eyes of the Lord, money means nothing. So they wanted to make sure that a congregation of 800 still had a fantastic view. So it was architecturally important because there was no pillars or posts in the church, and it was a big space. So times changed. All Saviours was knocked down and All Souls had stood empty for 30 years. So a local gentleman brought that back to life, and a building was kind of built inside it with meeting rooms and spaces. It's a phenomenal building, and I went in there to launch that.
Now, you've also consulted, I should say actually, you've been consulted on a few similar projects. So where do you think your interest in heritage and support for communities and the third sector organisations stems from?
I just love old buildings, and I hate it how old buildings are closed and new modern ugly structures are built. And I think being in All Souls with the modern inside the old, there was problems with the modern and never any problems with the old. So we've got so many fantastic spaces that we can reuse and repurpose for community use instead of knocking them down, leaving them to rot and build something new. And that's where my passion started. And then being at All Souls, we consulted on a few projects, Stretford Public Hall and people like that came to visit, and that's why I then went on to do consultancy, because I wanted to learn skills in that area to support further projects.
Do you get approached quite often for your knowledge and your expertise?
Yes, it's quite interesting really, because there is a lot of other groups out there that are all in the same position and all have a fantastic asset that they want to they want to try and save. So and I'm always happy to talk to anybody and share any knowledge, because for me it's such a passion.
Local communities taking over community assets, especially that used to be managed or housed local authority-based services. There seems to be an awful lot of that that's going, more and more. So I would imagine that could keep you quite, if you chose to just do that, you could keep yourself quite busy.
Yeah, and I think the thing is, from some of the things that I've been involved with, I'm linked to so many amazing charities, community groups, and I think once you've got a venue, you can then bring all the resources to the local community. So just having that space, you could bring in domestic violence support, debt advice, support for mums, support for children, support for over 50s. There's so much that with a space that you can bring into it to really support that community as well.
Back in the day, you were the sales manager at Mottram Hall for De Vere Hotels, and also the senior sales manager for Marriott Hotels, where you coordinated conferences, events, seminars and all sorts of gala dinners.
Yes.
Do you think that your work in the hospitality industry was something you eventually just parted company with and left behind? Or do you think that the knowledge, the understanding, the experience that you acquired back then, pooled with your passion for heritage and your interest in supporting and benefiting local communities and the people who live in those communities, may have all somehow fused together like stars sort of aligning to collectively contribute to the success stories that you've been able to be a part of and obviously enjoyed?
If you cut me down the middle, you'd probably still see Marriott running right through my core.
Okay.
The training that we received at Marriott was exceptional, and it's things like, if you're walking through the hotel, you look at it from a guest perspective. So if you saw a piece of litter, you'd pick it up and really change things. So one of the things at Loaves and Fishes was the front door was a bit sort of, the paint had peeled off, and it was a real bugbear of mine, and I really wanted to paint that because that's your first impression.
And you never get a second chance.
That's it, exactly that. So no, absolutely, the private background and the training from there absolutely is still with me today.
Now, you've worked with quite a few third sector organisations now for a few years. So my question is, is working with and managing a team of volunteers much different to managing a staff team?
absolutely on another level. I think staff come to work because they may not enjoy the job, but they do come to work to get paid. So when you're working with volunteers, sometimes it can be extremely difficult because obviously volunteers are there because they want to be there and they're really passionate, but then they also have, if they're poorly or if they have carer responsibilities at home, and then a volunteer doesn't turn up, but you really need support from that volunteer, then it does have an effect. But what's nice about volunteers is they're massively passionate and they want to be there and help. So it's very nice working with volunteers.
Now, obviously, COVID and the pandemic grounded many people. But we also know that it was the smaller local charities and grassroots groups who were really the first to respond in many local areas to meeting local needs. How did the pandemic impact on you and your work?
So that's why I'm now at Loaves and Fishes and moved out of a heritage-based background. I know Jane from Salford Survivor Project, the CEO, and Jane rang me and said, could I come and meet? So the baths had been closed. So I went round and I met her. And it was the first time I'd met a phenomenal lady called Sarah Whitehead, who is part of Salford Mad Pride and Salford Poverty Truth Commission. And we kind of came together and said, what do we do? So the first thing we did was we went round pubs and got all their surplus stock and we took it to the hospital because we knew the nurses and staff couldn't get out of the hospital. And then that grew and changed, and the Salford Mutual Aid Coalition was founded. So there was a Facebook page offering help and support, but in the background, a group of organisations, so Gemma Fish from Step Into Action, Kerry Muldoon from the Flood Group and Green Grosvenor Park, Coffee for Craig, Visit from the Stalk, Salford Food Parcels, Salford Survivor Project, and obviously Sarah's group and more, and we shared resources. And it was an amazing difference. So a school had closed, so they donated 500 boxes of cereals, and that was passed through the network, or they put homeless people in hotels, but they had no TVs, and 100 TVs were sourced. So actually what came from that was an amazing group of people came together and shared resources. And now that coalition is still in place because instead of all working at different angles, working together just means that more support gets back into the community.
I guess the cost of living crisis also having an impact on the local community in organising and staging lots of activities. How do you see the future panning out for small charities and locally led voluntary groups like Loaves and Fishes and Bewley Hill Mansion Association?
I think for a point of view from Loaves and Fishes, we have about 8,000 extra visitors a year since prior to the pandemic. So about 24,000 visits a year. A lot of that now is working people that are behind or struggling with the rent, can't afford food. It's a really horrific situation. What we found is a lot of people aren't paying the council tax. So if they don't pay the gas and electric, it gets cut off. If you don't pay your Wi-Fi, your kids can't do the homework, and it goes on. Council tax doesn't have an impact right now, but that's a priority debt. So in 2 years' time, you're going to end up in court. So we're really trying to educate people now, because what's happening now is going to have ripple effects for years. So there's a lot more pressure at Loaves and Fishes. In the pandemic, we had lots more donations. Cost of living, we've got a lot less donations, but a lot higher demand. So it's a very, very scary time for a lot of people at the minute. We have people charging electric scooters and wheelchairs in the building because they can't afford to do it at home. So that's really sad. On the other side, from the Mansion Association, we kind of changed our focus in 2020. We needed to do more events and more projects so we could build a portfolio if we were ever needed to be in the position where we as a group would go for the lottery funding. And along with that, community events came out of it. So our Christmas event, for example, we fundraised about £3,000. We hired a hall. About 15 community groups came and got free stalls so they could raise funds that would then support the Salford community through the year. So some groups raised up to £400 each. We gave 800 Christmas presents away. We had Santa and his sleigh and reindeers. That was really important because going and seeing Santa, you're looking at £60 for a family of four, and that's really unaffordable. So yeah, it's just really important that we do these free things to sort of really support struggling families at the moment.
So would you say that things can only get better?
They have to get better, so yes.
We've been chatting today to Jenny Smith, the CEO at Salford Loaves and Fishes, or Loaves and Fishes Salford, whichever way around you want to say that, and also the chair at the Bewley Hill Mansion Association. And that's just two of lots of things, Jenny, that we could go into. Thought that we might just wrap up today with a quick fire observations that I've problem with me in interviews and when you're doing research here is go and raid somebody's pages on social media, because then you can get all the questions that you ever want to ask anybody. So I've got loads of things to wrap up, but just a few observations to mention. Come back at me with a few quick fire comments if you like, maybe a few answers. I've got a few. Let's go. You are a volunteer with the Salford Survivor Project.
I am. Fantastic local charity supporting domestic violence survivors.
You used to work at Manchester Art Gallery.
I did, to bring art and to support the art gallery and ensure school children could come in and sort of see art, and I was passionate about helping support that.
You're co-chair of the former Height Youth Club Association.
Another fantastic hall in Salford that we're trying to reopen.
You are founding member of the First Gold from the Stone Foundation Care Leavers Christmas Dinner.
For Salford, yes. So it's the Lem Cissé Gold from the Stone Foundation, and it is supporting Salford Care Leavers on Christmas Day with dinner.
Brilliant. You're a Salix Homes Springwood Hero in 2021.
Yep, from the Mansion Association.
You're a trustee of the 82nd Salford Lowry Scouts.
Yes, absolutely passionate about that.
Is that because your boy goes there?
He does go there, and I think it was a year. He'd been going there for 12 months before I joined the committee, but just the difference in him, the skills that they learn, the social skills, open to boys and girls from ages of 4 to 14. So, yeah, it's an amazing group.
You are one of the 1 million mentors.
Yep, so I train to be a mentor and I support young people, help them with mentoring.
You're a chartered manager.
Yes.
Recognised by the Chartered Management Institute.
I am. I think I really wanted to make sure that I treat my staff and the best manager that I can be, so that was really important for me to become chartered.
You're a member of the Institute of Consulting.
Yep, from my passion of heritage building. So yes, I did a level 7, which is equivalent to a master's in consulting.
June 2020, one of your organisations received the Queen's Award for Voluntary Service.
The Mansion Association were nominated, yes.
Brilliant. You are a Heart of Salford Award recipient.
Yeah, for the Salford Mutual Aid Coalition.
What can I say? Thank you.
Thank you.
For taking the time to chat to me today. May we wish you every success in everything you do and every success going forward for the future.
Thank you for having me.
It's been a pleasure to talk to you.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Forever Mancunians. If you like the show, please follow us in your podcast app, and if you have time, leave us a review. To find out how you could work with Forever Manchester, show your support, receive a newsletter, or make a donation, check out forevermanchester.com.